Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, praise team. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Today's a good day. But you know what? Every day with the Lord is a good day. And the Bible says today is the day the Lord has made. It wasn't necessarily tied to a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but it was tied to a season, the season of salvation that we live and operate and function in. So every day is a good day with the Lord, but this day is a special day set aside for believers to come together and hang out, amen, hook up, connect. So if you haven't had a chance yet to say hello to someone or hug somebody's neck or smile or give a word of encouragement, maybe slap a couple of dollars in their hands, whatever the Holy Spirit might impress upon you. If you haven't had a chance to do that, the assembly's still young. After we're done, probably won't help me if everybody starts shaking hands while I'm ministering. So maybe after I'm done. Yeah, maybe it's that. That's all right. So I ran out of lotion this week. Ran out of, I get that Jergens Ultra, it's called Ultra something, what's it called, Holly? Ultra something. It helps my skin, yeah. But I ran out this week, or I got low, and I did what every refined person does. I took the top off. Because I don't want to let anything go to waste. So I spent the last few days I know there's something in there. Getting some out. Or you put the stick back in there and you hope that pulls some out and you pull it off the stick. I'm just being real. You know, I'm just saying what you all thinking. So I spent a few days suffering at a very low level, you understand. There are people that are really suffering, but I'm telling you this for a reason. I spent a few days going without. Spent a few days not having what I needed. And wishing, hoping that I would get some soon. I even went to my little girl's bathrooms. Yeah, I put on some baby lotion there. Gotta stay moisturized. So I raided their cabinet. Daddy, what you doing? Hey, I paid for this. So I'm going through all week. This morning, hadn't had a chance to make it by the store. And, you know, some of the same thing. I had to get something from underneath my cabinet. And I opened the cabinet, and there was a brand new bottle of Jergens Ultra sitting in there. And I realized it had been there for weeks. It had been in place for weeks. I'm going to say that one more time. It had been in place for weeks. And I realized in that moment that I suffered needlessly. I didn't need provision in that moment. What I needed was understanding. I didn't need provision in that moment. What I needed was knowledge. Because if I can understand what I already have, if I can understand what already belongs to me, then in that moment, it's not a matter of God getting it to me. It's a matter of me understanding what I already have. It's a matter of me understanding what's already in place. It had been there, but because of my ignorance, that's why Paul told the church at Ephesus, I pray that the blessings of God and provisions of God will overtake you. No. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be open so that you can see what you have in Christ. If you don't know you have it, you won't lay hold of it. You won't embrace it. And you might suffer needlessly, not knowing that it was already there. It was already a part of your covenant. It was already available to you. So I encourage you, I challenge you, always be taking assessment of your new covenant. Always be reminding yourself of what's available to you, what you have through Christ. Because in the moment I saw it, I remembered that Holly had bought some lotion, and I had bought some too, 1 week. And so we had excess. And I put one aside for later, but I forgot. I forgot what was mine. I forgot what was available to me. I had been busy all week, not paying attention to what had already been purchased, losing sight of what I had in my house. And the word says, my people are destroyed for a lack of not having, but a lack of not knowing that they have, for a lack of knowledge, for a lack of God's will, plan, and purpose for their life. So it's important that we are always assessing our new covenant, what we have through Christ, what we have in Him, what's available to us, for us, through Him. In Him, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Him, we have all that we need. We have to continue to grow up in Him to understand and be constantly laying hold of. Now, that's not the message today. But, well, it was part of the message. Thank you, sister. It was, yeah. We are talking for the rest of the time about the big picture. Somebody say the big picture. Sometimes we get wrapped into the small picture. Things that matter, but in perspective, they're really not that big of a deal. So we always have to keep sight of the big picture and what God has and what God is doing. It's easy to get caught up in what's going on in your daily life and lose sight of the big picture, lose sight of what God is doing. This is what's going on in my world. This is what I'm dealing with today. This is what I'm dealing with this week. I am being challenged on every front. These are my challenges. These are my victories. These are my wants. These are my needs. This is what is going on with me. And so we can sometimes, focusing on the small picture, lose sight of the big picture that God is developing. Every picture goes through a development process. In the digital age, that happens pretty quick. But back in the day, you would bathe the paper in a bath so that the picture could be developed. And you might have to wait a few days if you dropped your film off at the store to allow it to be developed. God is developing a big picture, and it's important that we are aware of that and that we're conscious of that when we are going about our day-to-day life. God has a plan for your life, but his plan for your life is tied to a bigger plan, a bigger picture, and it's not just for you. It's not all about you. It is all about him. You can have the mindset that I have plans for my life, and I want God to help me fulfill my plans. That's the wrong mindset. I've got plans for my life, and I'm praying for God to help me fulfill the plans that I have. Lord, will you help me? And then when those plans come to pass, I will testify of how God helped me perform my plans. Or you can have the mindset that God has a plan, and I want to be used of him to be a part of fulfilling that plan in the earth. God has a plan, and I want to be used of him to be a part of fulfilling that plan in the earth. The Bible says many are the plans in the heart of a man, but it's the Lord's counsel that will stand. God's plan is what we're after. God's plan is what we're going for, not the plans that we have for ourselves. When we say that God has a plan for your life, God does have a plan for your life. But understand that God has a plan, period. And that his plan for your life is tied up in his ultimate plan in the earth. It's not just about having a plan for your life. It's about having a plan for his will in the earth. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. In reference to Jesus, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O Lord. Why did Jesus come in a body? He came to do his will. He said, a body you have given me that I may do your will, O Lord. What is your body for? Well, Brian, my body is for looking good. I'm going to eat well. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to work out. I'm going to stand in the mirror. Because my body is for looking good. I'm going to buy me some fine threads. Because my body is for looking good. My body is for feeling good. As long as I'm having a good time, that's why I'm here, to enjoy. No, he said, the reason you have a body is to do his will. That's what this earth suit is for. To do his will. Period. That's it. End of story. Anything else that comes has to come underneath that. Has to come underneath his lordship. He is not here for you. You are here for him. And because you are here for him, he is then here for you. Not by works, don't get me wrong. God is here for you. But you understand what I'm saying. First and foremost, you're here for him. He's not trying to help you fulfill a plan separate from his plan for your life. He is fulfilling a plan in the earth, and he asks you, he invites you to be a part of that. And as you are fulfilling his plan for your life, he is there helping you all along the way. But he has no interest in plans outside of his own. He has no interest in plans that have where he's not been consulted, where his plan is not being submitted to. God has no interest in that. He has an interest in you seeking after him, understanding his plan for the earth, for redemption, for the kingdom in the earth, and you saying, Lord, what is my part in that? How can I submit to that? And then, Lord, help me do that thing, my specific piece, my specific place in your plan in the earth. That's how God functions. That's how God operates. Jesus said, a body you have given to me that I may do your will. He came to do the will of the Father. So it's always about what he wants. Lord, what do you want? That should be one of my biggest questions. Lord, what do you want? What do you want for my life? What do you want to do with me? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want? And then he uses us to help fulfill his will in the earth. So his individual plan for your life is always tied to a much bigger picture. So what is the bigger picture that his individual plan for your life is tied to? The big picture is redemption in the earth. The kingdom of God manifest in the earth. That is the big picture. That is what everyone, even the prophets of old, were looking forward to, were looking out for. The Redeemer coming. The kingdom of God being manifest in the earth. In part, now, in full, in the time to come. God's plan is redemption, his kingdom being made manifest in the earth. We see God's plan for Abraham's life tied to a much bigger picture. Sarah was barren and had a personal, somebody say personal. She had a personal desire. She had a personal want. She wanted a child. That was her personal desire. God said, I will give you the desires of your heart. But understand that the desire of her heart was tied to a bigger picture. She wanted a child. She wanted the stain of barrenness to be removed. The bigger picture was Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to Israel. Jacob was Israel, turned its name, changed to Israel. Jacob to Israel, and Israel to the line of David, to the Redeemer. Her personal desire had to be tied to the bigger picture. Her personal desire had to be tied to the corporate desire. Those two things worked together. For her, it was, I'm not barren anymore. For God, it was the fulfillment of his plan by bringing her a son. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, went through the same thing. She had a desire not to be barren. God fulfilled that desire in her, but he had a bigger picture. John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Redeemer. So individual desires have to always be seen by us in a bigger light. It can never just be about us. Your individual desires, the thing that you want, the mindset and the attitude is, Lord, how do you want to use this? Even as I enjoy it and am blessed by it, How do you want to use this to be a blessing in the earth? Because it's about the bigger picture. He has blessed us to be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12. In verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, this was before his name was changed to Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Somebody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
But why? I will bless you, and I will make your name great. But why? It's not about, oh, look at how great I am. Look at how great the name I have is. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger plan. However God increases you, however God blesses you, you can't get focused on yourself. You have to stay focused on the bigger plan, because it's not about you. It's about Him. So He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. It's not just about being blessed, it's about being a blessing. But you can't be a blessing unless you are first blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. Well, those people are just out for blessings. Well, yeah. But remove the word just. I am receiving the blessing so that I can be a blessing. If God blesses me with $100 and I know Will has a need, I can't bless Will. I can't give to Will unless I have to give. You understand that? I can't give to Will. I cannot give him something I don't have. Freely you have received, freely give. But you have to first freely receive. So am I about receiving? Yes. I am about receiving the blessings of God. But that's not the end result. So that I can be a blessing to Botswana. I can be a blessing to Will. I can be a blessing to whoever the Lord puts on my heart. So I lay hold of the blessings of God aggressively with intent, but not so I can store it up for myself and say, look at me. But so that I can listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to God and say, Lord, how do you now want me to distribute what you have, your resources, to be a good steward over what you've given me? We are distribution centers of his wealth. We are distribution centers of his blessings. Whenever you receive a harvest, whenever you receive a blessing, the Bible teaches this principle. Part of it is for you to take care of your family, pay bills, enjoy. But there's a seed inside the harvest. There's always a seed inside the harvest. And we have to be in prayer and listening to God. When I get a harvest, ooh, I can do this, and I can buy this, and I can go here, and I can do this. No. What's the seed in the harvest? This is seed time and harvest time. God established it in Genesis. Seed-bearing plants that have seed within themselves. So there's always a seed in the harvest. When I get a blessing, when the blessing manifests, I take the seed out so that the rest of the harvest can be holy. I don't want to eat the seed that's in the harvest. That's why I take the tithe out so that I can maximize the harvest. as long as the tithe is in there, I can't maximize the harvest. But when I take what belongs to God out of the harvest, now I can maximize the harvest and I can be a blessing to the church, to others, to family, to friends, to neighbors, to brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the bigger picture. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about his plan for the earth and how I can get caught up in it and how I can be a part of it. So he says, I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And because you belong to me, and all of us belong to him, I will bless those who bless you. We are descendants. We are heirs of the same promise, the Bible says, that God gave to Abraham. He says, I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Ultimately, the Redeemer would come. All nations would be blessed through the anointed Redeemer coming. But God still wants to be a blessing through you in the earth under the ministry of reconciliation. Yet he was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God wants to use you to reconcile people to Christ. He also wants to use you to reconcile situations to the way that they should be, to reconcile schools and bring them under kingdom life, to reconcile businesses and bring them under God's dominion, to reconcile different spheres of influence. All of that needs to be reconciled. It needs to be being reconciled as much as can happen in this time. In the world to come, it'll all quickly be reconciled. But even now in this time, before Christ returns, we have a mission. We have an assignment. As much as is possible, establish the kingdom of God in the earth, in your neighborhood, first in yourself, then your home, then your neighborhood, then your city, and all the earth, wherever God calls you, wherever God sends you. So in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. Our mindset when we receive the blessing of God is, God, how can you use this possession? How can God use me to fulfill his will in the earth? So what God is seemingly doing for you and in you individually, many times there's a purpose beyond you. We see God's plan for Joseph's life tied to a much bigger picture than just blessing Joseph. Joseph was elevated. He was blessed in Egypt. But he was positioning Joseph for a reason. There was a why. There was a much bigger purpose. He had to get Israel to Egypt. He had to get Israel to Egypt and then the things that were to follow. But in order to do that, he had to position Joseph. He had to get Joseph in the right place. Who knows but that God is positioning you, moving you into place so that he can fulfill his will in the earth. John the Baptist's life and his coming was bound by scripture. Turn to John chapter 1. In verse 19. Now let's look at John's testimony. Let's look at what he had to say about his life and why he was here. John chapter 1, verse 19. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" You ever ask yourself that question? Who am I? Who are you? That's an identity question. Who you are is important. What is your identity? He said, who are you? And he confessed and did not lie, did not deny. But he confessed, I am not the Christ. And understanding who you are, it's also important to understand who you are not. I am not him. Stop trying to be like him. I am not her. Stop trying to be like her. I am not my mama. I'm not my cousin. I'm not my uncle. I'm not my auntie. I'm me. I did say auntie. Y'all, if y'all like aunt better, if you like auntie better, so be it. I'm not the person down the street. I'm not my next door neighbor. I'm me. I'm unique. I'm an individual. I don't have to do what everybody else is doing. I don't have to live the way everybody else is living. I am who God created me to be. So I am not them. I am me. So he confessed and did not deny. I am not the Christ. They asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? No. Are you Billy? No. Are you Sarah? No. Are you Priscilla? No. Are you Russell? For sure enough, no. I am none of those people. They said, are you the prophet? He said, no. Remember, it's important to understand who you are not. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm not trying to be everybody else. I'm not trying to be this one, or that one. I'm trying to be who God has called me to be, who God created me to be. So he knew who he was not, but he also knew who he was. Then they said to him, who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Now, this is an important question. What do you say about yourself when you get up in the morning? What do you say about yourself when you look in the mirror? What do you say about yourself when you're going through a hard time? What do you say about yourself when people are coming against you? What do you say about yourself when you don't view yourself very well? You need to say what God said. What do you say about yourself? Verse 23. He said, here we go. He said, I am what the word says about me. He says, I am what the word says about me. And what does the word say about him? A voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. He was the voice of one calling out in the wilderness. He understood and knew that his life was bound by Scripture. My life has to be bound by Scripture. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. When situations ask who you are, be able to tell them, I am what the word says I am. No matter how I feel, no matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what I'm looking at, I am what the word says I am. I am bound by Scripture. No matter how I feel about myself, no matter how I look at myself, I am what the word says I am. That's what John the Baptist understood. His life was bound by Scripture. His life was bound by what the word of God said to him. He knew why he was here. He wasn't here for himself. He was here to fulfill the word. He was here to fulfill the word. He was here to fulfill Scripture. How are we fulfilling Scripture every day? Living out what the word says about us. I am who the word says I am. I'm doing what the word calls me to do and told me to do. So this has to be our mindset. Are you bound by Scripture? You should be. What has the scripture said about you? It's important to go through the Bible and read all the things that God says about who you are in Christ. Because that's who you are. You are in Him. You are the righteousness of God. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what the word says about you. Your life is bound by scripture. I am out fulfilling, being strengthened of God, being blessed of God, being the righteousness of God. Are you seeking to fulfill the scripture as well, the way John the Baptist did? We are here first and foremost for the Lord, not for ourselves. Nor are we here first and foremost for others. There are people who will try to get you off track of what God has for you. You're not here for them. You're here for God. You're here for Him. He is your Lord. He is your Redeemer. People may have great ideas about what you're called to, what you should be doing. Well, all the other preachers are doing this. You should be doing this. All the other churches are doing this. You should be doing this. All the other business people are doing this. You should be doing this. Maybe you should. But if God didn't call you, if God didn't put that in your heart, you should be doing what God did put on the inside of you. You're not here for yourself. You're not here for others. You're here for Him. But the good news is that when you're here for Him, He allows you to get caught up in the blessing and enjoy His presence and enjoy His things. But first and foremost, the big picture says, I am here for Him. He uses us to be a blessing to others, and He allows us to be caught up and enjoy the personal benefits of His blessing. This has to be our mindset. Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. We have to learn how to deny the will of the unrenewed mind and take up our cross and follow Him. I'll say that one more time. We have to learn how to deny the will of the unrenewed mind and take up our cross and follow Him. God has a plan for your life, but it is tied to His greater plan of what He's doing in the earth. In order to fulfill the plan He has for your life, like Joseph, He has to position you and get you to the right places and in front of the right people. He has to position you and get you to the right places and in front of the right people. You may not have everything you need or know everyone you need to know to fulfill all that God has for you. You are not an island to yourself, but there are other people who do. And God at times will place you on the heart of others. God will get you in front of the right people so that He can fulfill His plan for your life and His plan in the earth. God will place you on the hearts of other people to favor you, like Potiphar did Joseph, to get you where you need to go. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. God placed Paul on the heart of Ananias. God had to connect these two people. He had to connect Ananias and He had to connect Saul, whose name would be Paul, to fulfill His purpose in the earth. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, this is not the same Ananias and Ananias and Sapphira, in case you thought he was dead. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. God knows what you're doing, and the person that He needs to connect you with is doing at the same time. And he knows how to orchestrate the path of both people to meet a divine appointment to get you where you need to be. He said he has seen you in a vision. Come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and he was baptized. I would contend that the scales were not going to be removed from Paul's eyes until he met the person he was supposed to meet. God has to get you connected with the right people so that you can fulfill his plan for you, which is tied to his plan for the earth, the bigger picture. God placed Cornelius on the heart of Peter. Turn to Acts chapter 10. In verse 1. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. You notice how God knows where everybody is? This one's over here, this one's over here. And God knows how to orchestrate events to get the right people to meet at the right time. Be aware of who you're meeting. Be aware of who you're coming in contact with. Sometimes it may just be a regular meeting, but sometimes it may be a divine appointment. Be listening. Be open. You never know where that relationship, that connection, that meeting is going to take you. Verse 7, when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unclean and unholy. Notice how God used Peter's desire to eat in order to minister to him. He says, the verses before said he was hungry. He was looking for something to eat. And then he fell into a trance. He saw a vision, and his vision was tied to the hunger. God said, Here you go, eat. Peter said, Nah, I don't eat that. Verse 17, now while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked direction for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you." And the account goes on. But listen, here's the thing. God was dealing with Cornelius and Peter at the same time, unbeknownst to either of them. We've all been made to drink from the same Spirit. Who is God dealing with on your behalf? Who is God putting you on their heart? Be listening. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You have to trust that God is ordering your steps, directing your path, hooking you up with the right people so you can get to where you need to go individually, because it's tied to somewhere corporately. It's tied to something globally. It's tied to the bigger picture of redemption in the earth. If the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you may say, that seems so small. It seems so insignificant. Listen, if, somebody say if. If God, okay, not the barbecue you ate last night, but if God puts something on your heart, and it's God, if God tells you to do something, no matter how insignificant it may seem or look, do it. Because it's going to lead to something else. That's going to lead to something else. It's going to lead to something else. God had LinkedIn before LinkedIn existed. Okay. He knows how to hook people up and connect people and get all the right connections. People you know who know someone else who knows, that's all LinkedIn is. People you know who know someone else who know someone else who know something else who can get you in contact with someone else. God knows where everyone is. He knows how to connect the right people. Someone in this room may be a blessing to you. Maybe it's not today. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's next week. Well, Brian, I don't even like them. You don't have to like them. Their breath doesn't have to smell good. How many of you, if there was $1 billion and someone said, you can have $1 billion, it's yours, go have it, go get it. Where is it? The only caveat, the only condition is $1 billion was stashed in a pile of dung. Give me my shovel. It's going to be funky for a moment. But at the end, God can get it to you. Even if it's through a vessel you don't like. If it's God. If it's God. So God knows how to connect the right people. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. We'll be closing shortly here. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Here's the key, verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and so he became a successful man. Does God want you to be a success? Yes. But why? Why does God want you to be success? To say, I'm successful? Look at me, I'm successful? No. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw, God can cause people to look upon you with favor. To get you where you need to be. His master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So listen, verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. because he found favor with someone who had influence, someone who already had position. Those two had to meet. They had to connect so that God could get Joseph where he needed to be, so he could get Israel into Egypt, so he can fulfill his plan in the earth. Your individual plan is always tied to a bigger plan. You have to keep your eyes set on the bigger plan and not get caught up on just you. God knows how to connect the right people. Do you see what God is doing in your life from an eternal perspective? Or are you just trying to get by from day to day? When you look at the natural lineage of Christ, you see individual people that God used. How he blessed them. He lifted them up in a moment, at a time, for a bigger reason, to bring the Redeemer into the earth at the right time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. First Peter chapter 1, verse 10. As to this salvation, what salvation? The salvation that we now live in. The prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come and has now come to you, the grace that would come to you, made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Here's the big thing, verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were part of something bigger than themselves. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves. Oh, how many of us are serving ourselves? It was revealed to them that what God is doing in us individually at this time is not for us. It's for something bigger. It's for something greater. So yes, we want to participate in that. We want to be a part of that. But we can't get caught up with, look what God is doing in us. Look how he's elevating us. It has to be about him. God is going to elevate some of you. No, God is going to elevate all of you who lay hold of and believe. He may do it in different ways. But as God elevates you, understand that you are not serving yourself. Don't get the big head. Look at me. Look at what God is doing in me. It was revealed to them, verse 12, that they were not serving themselves, but they were serving you. In these things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things even which angels long to look into. They understood this was not solely for us. This is for a bigger picture, a greater picture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. This is Jesus talking. He says, for this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap or gather into barns. They do not have checking and savings accounts. They don't have jobs. And yet, without all that stuff, your heavenly Father takes care of them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not have sewing machines. They do not have jobs. That's what it says. They don't toil or spin. They don't work, and they don't have sewing machines. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. God wants you to be blessed to dress well, to dress how you want to dress. But why? So that he can be glorified. So you can say, look at what the Lord has done. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Is this Jesus talking about your clothing? Yes. You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For unbelievers, the Gentiles, that's who Gentiles are, unbelievers, eagerly seek after these things. Don't seek for things. When you seek for things, you're missing the big picture. They seek these things, but seek first. Here's the big picture. We're talking about the big picture. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come along with it. I don't have to seek things if I'm seeking him. I don't have to seek things if I'm seeking his kingdom, because that's the bigger picture. I have to keep my mind focused on the bigger picture. Even though I'm having daily needs and things are going on, God's going to help me through those. But I have to stay focused on the bigger picture and understand that God's plan for my life is tied up into something bigger than just me. In closing, trust God with your life. Trust God that he is ordering your steps. He's directing your paths. Listen to the Holy Spirit and follow his promptings. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The sons of God, their steps are being ordered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in them to get them where God needs them to be. So listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow his promptings and his direction. If God is putting something on your heart to do, do it. Even if it seems like a small thing, God will turn it and can turn it into a much greater thing. Never get focused on yourself. Never stay focused. I think from time to time we all, including me, deal with things where our eyes turn inward. And as Brother Ken mentioned today, sometimes when your eyes are turned inward, God will use you to turn them outward. And in you turning them outward, you receive the blessing as you're being a blessing to others. So never get focused on yourself, your wants, your needs, your desires, to the point where you fail to see the bigger picture. God has a plan, family. He is working his plan in the earth, and he has called us to be a part of it. He has graced us to be a part of it. And within your individual part in his plan, you have unique gifts and talents, skills and ability. And there are unique things that God will do in your life. He's going to allow you to enjoy the blessing of those things. And enjoy them. Praise God for them. The wealth, the abundance, the blessings. But understand, it's not to point to it and say, this is what I have. It's to say, look what the Lord has done in fulfilling his big plan in the earth. And he's allowed me to be a part of that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's the word for this morning. We went a little bit long. Pastor Richard, we are good.
To quote a movie, I'm not going to say the person, y'all know who the person is. A movie quote. If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, wake up and pay attention. Doesn't necessarily exactly fit, but when you meet somebody, when you are in a situation, pay attention. Look around. See what God is doing in that situation and what part he wants you to play. Excellent word, brother. Excellent word. Excellent word. And it all hinges on that last scripture we read. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all this other stuff will be added to you. Praise God. Stand with me. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be in your presence, to be gathered together and assembled as the church of the Most High God, as your church, Father. Father, I thank you for the word that has gone forth, and I seal it into the hearts of each one that has listened and heard that word, that that word falls on the good ground of their heart and that it produces much fruit, and it will not be stolen, it will not be taken. But Father God, we are being positioned into what you have for us, Father God, and what you have for the, your church and for your kingdom. Thank you, Father God, that you are choosing us to be a part. You have already chosen us to be a part of your plan. Give us understanding. Give us insight. Let the light that you are inside of us change our thinking, change our understanding, change our heart to see your will, plan, and purpose, that it may be accomplished on earth as you have already accomplished and said it in heaven. Thank you, Father God, again for this time. I speak your blessings on your people. I say that you are the blessed of the Lord, that you are the light of the world. And everywhere you go, you bring that light and you shine that light, and the darkness is dispelled. That you are rising up to establish the kingdom of God in every situation and every circumstance. And that nothing can harm you, nothing can hurt you, no weapon formed against you prospers. But because you are children of the Most High God, your heritage is to live in peace and safety. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you are highly favored of God. And you have favor with all men and with every situation and circumstance you come in contact with. You rule and reign in Christ. And you are blessed so that you can be a blessing. Praise God. You're loved. We will see you on Wednesday night, I think, right? Yeah, Wednesday night. We'll be here. God bless you. Have an awesome day and an awesome week. You're dismissed. Yes, Brother Brian delivered the word to us, so we want to be a blessing to him. And this side over here, over this way, if you got an offering for Botswana or some change in your pocket that you want to get rid of, there's a jar over here and a bucket over here.